Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
Larry Walker always wanted to fly, but his poor eyesight disqualified him from pilot status in the Air Force, so he got an idea. He hitched up 45 helium-filled weather balloons to his aluminum lawn chair. You remember the old school kind with the webbing and the rivets? And he strapped himself in along with some peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and a six-pack of light beer and a BB gun. His plan was to hover around 30 feet or so above his backyard for several hours and then shoot enough balloons to come back down. Unfortunately, 45 weather balloons filled with 33 cubic feet of helium apiece do not settle at 30 feet. When his friends cut the cord that was anchoring his lawn chair to the ground, Larry did not settle at 100 feet, nor 1,000 feet. Larry stopped climbing at 16,000 feet. Now, at that height, he was reluctant to shoot anything. He drifted along with his beer and his sandwiches into the airspace of LAX. After several hours, Larry decided to risk shooting a few balloons, and he eventually descended low enough that he got tangled in some power lines where he was rescued. The FAA spokesman said, "We know he broke some part of the Federal Aviation Act, and as soon as we figure out what part it is, a charge will be filed." As Larry was being carried away in handcuffs, a reporter asked him why he did it. Larry's response, "You can't just sit there." Now, Larry may not score really high on the discretion scale, okay, but he's right about one thing. In fact, you could kind of call it the Lion Chaser slogan. You can't just sit there. In August of 1987, Howard Schultz was faced with the biggest decision of his life. He was presented with an opportunity to purchase a small chain of coffee shops called Starbucks. Maybe you've heard of them. But this was long before you had ever heard of them. And to Schultz, I mean, this opportunity would just seem like an overwhelming undertaking. In fact, Schultz said that, you know, it just felt like the case of a salmon swallowing a whale. The price tag was $4 million. He wrote in his autobiography, "Pour Your Heart Into It," he said this about his decision. He said, "This is my moment, I thought. If I don't seize the opportunity, if I don't step out of my comfort zone and risk it all, if I let too much time tick on, my moment will pass. I knew that if I didn't take advantage of this opportunity, I would replay it in my mind for my whole life, wondering, what if? What if?" And so Schultz gave up his $75,000 salary to pursue his passion of coffee. As Larry Walker would say, you can't just sit there. And as we say, the rest is history, right? I mean, some of you are holding Starbucks right now, right? I mean, it's hard to even imagine there not being a Starbucks on every corner of every street in the galaxy, correct? Starbucks stock actually went public on June 26, 1992, and by the closing bell, its market capitalization had reached $273 million. Not too shabby for a $4 million investment. But here's the problem. Seizing opportunity usually feels like swallowing a whale or chasing a lion. This series that we're in and been in for several weeks is based on this like obscure story in the Bible about this guy named Benaiah. And what we learn of Benaiah in just a few short verses in the book of 2 Samuel chapter 23 is that he was this mighty, valiant warrior. We read about three encounters that he had that just showed what a great warrior he was. He took on and defeated two Moabite warriors. Then he took on like this huge Egyptian. Some believe it's like 7.5 foot tall Egyptian who had a spear, and Benaiah only had a club, and yet Benaiah came out on top. And then by far the most impressive encounter, and the one we get our title for this series from, is that he chased this lion into a pit on a snowy day and killed it. Why? Well, you can't just sit there, right? I mean, you think about, you know, in this series, we're talking about just living a bigger life. Just going after our big dreams and our big goals. And really at the heart of realizing our dreams is this whole idea of seeing and seizing opportunity. In fact, I would go so far as to say that your ultimate destiny will be determined by whether or not you seize the God-given opportunities presented to you. Your ultimate destiny will be determined by whether or not you see and seize the God-given opportunities presented to you. You know, put yourself in Benaiah's sandals for a little bit. You know, Benaiah's story could have been scripted entirely differently. You know, Benaiah sees lion, Benaiah runs away, Benaiah breathes a sigh of relief, right? No harm, no foul. I mean, that would have been the most logical thing for Benaiah to do. Some would say that would have been prudent, right? But let's face it, if Benaiah had chosen to run away, we wouldn't be talking about Benaiah today, would we? In fact, Benaiah would have disappeared from the pages of the Bible. Lion chasers are not the most prudent people on the planet. Lion chasers are opportunists. Okay? Lion chasers aren't focused on avoiding problems. Lion chasers are focused in on seeing and seizing opportunity. When you think through Benaiah's life, I mean, how did Benaiah fulfill his destiny and realize his dream? How did Benaiah climb the military chain of command all the way to the top of the ladder? How did Benaiah become the most powerful man in all of Israel, right next to the king himself? Well, very simply, he did it by seizing one opportunity at a time. And nothing has changed 3,000 years later. Dreams are still realized by seizing one opportunity at a time. If the lion chaser's slogan is, you can't just sit there, I want to show you and read to you what might just be the lion chaser's life verse. It's found in the Bible in the book of Colossians, chapter 4. And if you have a Bible, you can turn there. We're going to read a couple of verses there. If you don't have a Bible, no problem. We're going to put the words on the screen here so you can follow along there. If you don't own a Bible, we give them away at the Velcro bar. Please feel free on your way out to grab one. We would love for you to have one. Again, there's no strings attached there. Also, in that Bible is a Bible reading plan. So we give you like a chapter we encourage you to read each day. And then we have this thing called Verve Catalyst that you can sign up for online that kind of just gives a couple paragraphs to explain what you're reading, help you understand what you're reading. But definitely stop by there. Also, did you guys know we have a Verve app? You guys know that? All right, some of you did. We have some really cool stuff on the Verve app. We have the Verve Catalyst. You can watch past messages. You can watch Verve videos. But you can also read the Bible on the Verve app. So you can actually get on your phone and open up to Colossians 4 as well. But here in Colossians 4, there's this guy named Paul who was a follower of Jesus, and he's writing to a group of Christians in the town of Colossae, and he's giving them instructions on just how to live a bigger life. How to just, you know, live their life to the fullest for God and how to make a difference with their one and only lives. And here's what he says in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. He says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And then verse 4, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. And here's this lion chaser's life verse here. Make the most of every opportunity. Make the most of every opportunity. When Lisa and I were dating, We went to visit my aunt and uncle who lived outside of Chicago. Now, at that time in our life, Lisa and I had never been to Chicago, and so my aunt and uncle gave us a tour of the town. I'm a huge baseball fan, and so my aunt and uncle, who couldn't give less of a rip about baseball, for my sake, drove us by Wrigley Field, home of the Chicago Cubs, also the oldest stadium in Major League Baseball. And as we were driving around the stadium, I noticed that the right field gate was open out onto the field, and the grounds crew was working on the field. So there was an opportunity. I yelled at my uncle in driving. I said, "Pull over." And I jumped out. I'm not even sure he'd come to a complete stop. I jumped out. I told Lisa, "Come on." And so we walked down the sidewalk to where several of the grounds crew are, just outside of the open gate. And I just walked up to one. I said, "Hey, man, would there be any chance my fiance and I could like walk out onto Wrigley Field?" And he said, "Man, I'm sorry. I'd love to let you, but I just can't let you." Well, I fear he's going to have to do better than that. So I said, "Listen, man, I'm a huge baseball fan. Like, this would be like a dream come true if I could literally stand on Wrigley Field. I mean, is there any chance you could let me do that?" And he said, "No, man, I'm sorry. I just can't." So I just stood there, and Lisa standing beside me, and I'm just looking around, you know, outside, and I realized that literally, other than the grounds crew, Lisa and I are the only people in sight. I mean, there's nobody walking around, there's nobody in any store. I mean, it is just us. And so I looked back at the guy and said, "Listen, I totally understand why you can't let me on the field, but like, we're the only people around. Like, I understand if like there's 100 people here, you couldn't let us on, 'cause you'd have to let everybody, you know, on the field. But we're the only people. Nobody's going to know if you let us on the field. I'm not too proud to beg. Is there any way?" And so he just kind of looked around, hummed and hawed, and went, "Okay, but you have to stay on the warning track." I went, "Got it. Thanks." Now, that's what I call making the most of an opportunity. So Lisa and I get on the field. We're walking along the warning track. And I mean, I'm just in my element. I'm touching the green ivy on the brick wall, outfield walls. I turn around. I just look at the field. And I'm just picturing all the great Chicago Cubs of the past playing right in front of me. I mean, I'm just in heaven. I mean, this is incredible. This is like the greatest opportunity ever. And I'm just... let's take a deep breath. I mean, freshly cut field. I mean, I'm just trying to just absorb every moment I can on this field. And Lisa's standing beside me. And I'm just looking at the field. And I just said, "Lisa, take a picture." "Yeah, get your camera out. Take a picture." "The camera's in the car." Some people get engaged at Wrigley Field. I almost broke off our engagement at Wrigley Field. That's what I call not making the most of every opportunity. Paul writes in Colossians 4, "Don't leave your camera in the car." All right? That's what he meant anyway. I know that's what it was in his mind when he said, make the most of every opportunity. Now what's interesting here in this scripture, I mean, it's very short. It doesn't specify like how many or how few opportunities. It doesn't quantify like how small or how large the opportunities. Paul just says, make the most of every opportunity. Every opportunity. In fact, I think for many of us, we fail to see small opportunities because we're too busy looking for the big opportunities. And I think God's probably going, "Man, if you'll seize the small opportunities I place in front of you, I'll give you bigger opportunity." Paul says we gotta make the most of every opportunity. You see, here's the deal. Every day is filled with countless God-given opportunities. There's not a day that goes by in your life that there's not an opportunity for you to love, an opportunity for you to give, an opportunity for you to serve, an opportunity for you to learn, There are just countless opportunities around you every day. And the question is, will you seize it? Will you make the most of it? I got to think as I was preparing this message, I got to think about some opportunities that you have here at Verve, like right now. I got thinking, you know, in tonight, actually this week, we're kicking off a brand new semester of Verve U. And Verve U are classes that we offer just to help you learn about and to live the life that God wants so much for you. And we've got two classes that are starting this Wednesday. One is Verb, which is one of our core classes. And if you have not taken that, you should sign up today at the Velcro Bar and seize that opportunity. We have another class called Virtuoso, which we'll hear a little bit later in the service. But great class. But tonight, we're kicking off Financial Peace University. Okay, Financial Peace University. You know what Financial Peace University is? It's an opportunity. It's an opportunity for you to just kind of get your world straight in the area of finances, okay, and for you to get on top of your financial world. And the question is, will you seize it? Okay? Will you seize it? I know dozens and dozens and dozens. I may know hundreds of people who've gone through Financial Peace University, and it has turned their world upside down financially in a great, unbelievable way. And you might think, well, it's just a class. It seems so small, but my friends, it's those small opportunities that often lead us to the fulfillment of our biggest dreams. And the question is, will you seize it? And if you want to seize it, sign up at the Velcro Bar today before you leave and be back here tonight for the class. Vince, one of our other pastors, he mentioned last week that we've got this opportunity to help start a new church in Siliguri, India. Now, Siliguri is like the gateway for sex trafficking in Southeast Asia. And there is a group of people already there helping rescue children out of this horrendous injustice, this horrendous environment by operating a daycare there right in the red light brothel district. And they've asked for our help. And so we have this opportunity to start a church. And for about $3,000, we can actually start a church right there in the red light brothel district. For a little bit more money, for $7,000, we can not only start the church, but we could bring over a couple of the pastors that are going to help start that church over here to our Vault conference we do every October to help train pastors to reach people who are far from God in their area. For $10,000, we can not only do those things, but we could also help expand the daycare so that they can help raise these children that they're rescuing out of sex trafficking, but also they can rescue more children out of this horrendous industry. And you know what this new church represents for you and me? An opportunity. An opportunity to give. An opportunity to be generous. An opportunity to give hope to people who feel incredibly hopeless right now. And my question is, would you join me in seizing that opportunity by giving $10, $100, $1,000, whatever, by giving something to help start this church and help start bringing light into this very, very dark place. I mean, if you want to seize this opportunity, there's a lot of different ways you can give. You can write a check. If you write a check on the memo line, just put India Church Plant. And you can also give online, and you can give on your app. That's another thing you can do on the Verve app, is you can give. And if you give online or on the app, just scroll down. You'll see like offerings, different things you can give to, and you'll see India Church Plant, and just click on that, and you can seize this opportunity and kill this lion that is present over there in Siliguri, India. Couple weekends, September 7th and 8th, we're going to be doing baptisms here at Verve. And baptism is just this first step for people to take when they come to the realization and the belief that Jesus truly is who he says he is. And they decide they want to have a relationship with Jesus and live their life for him. And you know what September 7th and 8th is? It's an opportunity for many of you to take a first step in your spiritual journey. And this is a journey that will lead you where you really want to go in life. And if you're ready to seize that opportunity, you can stop by our Velcro Bar and sign up for more information as well for the baptisms here in a couple weeks. Here's the thing. There's opportunities all around you. I mean, those are just some here at Verve. You've got other opportunities all throughout your life. And the question is, will you seize them? Now, here's the thing with opportunities. Seizing opportunities is more than just reacting to opportunities. It's actually more about preparing for opportunities. You see, if you're going to realize your dreams and goals, if you're going to live a bigger life, it's going to be dependent on you seeing and seizing opportunities. And in that order, seeing and then seizing opportunities. See, I'm afraid, because I know from my own experience, my own life, I'm afraid that you may be missing out on some opportunities in your life simply because you're not seeing the opportunities. I know in my own life that there's opportunities all around me, but so many times I'm opportunity blind. I am so busy. I've got so much else on my mind. I've got so many things to accomplish that I don't slow down long enough to actually see the opportunities around me. And this takes us back to what Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 4, where he says, make the most of every opportunity. The question is, well, how do you do that? That's great. That's inspiring. Make the most of every opportunity. But how? And I think part of the answer is a couple verses earlier when Paul wrote this in verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. At the base of your brainstem is a cluster of nerve cells called the reticular activating system. You are constantly being bombarded by countless stimuli, sights, sounds, smells. And if you had to process and pay attention to all the stimuli outside of you, it would literally make you crazy. But that's where the RAS, the reticular activating system, comes in. It determines what gets noticed and what doesn't get noticed by you. Last month, Lisa and I were shopping for a new minivan. And before we went out to dealerships and dealt with all that, we did a lot of research online, enough to realize that we really liked the Chrysler Town & Country minivan. But I had a little bit of concern. I actually said this to Lisa. I said, the only thing I'm worried about is I don't notice anybody driving Chrysler Town & Country minivans. I don't see many out on the road. And then we started shopping for Chrysler Town & Country minivans. We started going out to the dealerships, and something happened. I started noticing Town & Country minivans like everywhere I went. I mean, like in parking lots, in front of me on the highway, in my dreams. I mean, I realized friends I have own Town & Country minivans. So, I mean, what happened? I mean, I'm sure they were there all along. It's not like word got out, the Bennetts are looking for minivans. Let's all go flood the market and put them on the road. No, I mean, I'm sure they're already there, but I hadn't noticed them. Why? Because I wasn't looking for Town & Country minivans. I didn't have a cognitive category in my brain for a Town & Country minivan. So what happened? I started shopping for the minivan, and it created this category in my RAS, and how I notice Town & Country minivans whenever and wherever I see them. It's kind of annoying, to be honest with you. You've experienced the same thing in every area of your life, in everything you own. I mean, when you purchase a cell phone or a piece of clothing, or you purchase a car, you create a category in your reticular activating system. You notice if someone's cell phone has the same ringtone as you, right? Because you go to answer yours, right? You notice that. I mean, if you notice if someone's wearing your outfit to the same event, can you say awkward, right? And when you drive that car off of the lot, all of a sudden it seems like everybody's driving the same vehicle. See, that's the function of the RAS. You didn't have a category for the phone, for that ringtone, for the clothing, for the car until you purchased them. But when you purchased that thing, that clothing, you downloaded the ringtone, or you drove the car out of the dealership, all of a sudden you had this new category in your mind. So you're wondering, all right, Jeff, but what does this have to do with prayer, right? Here's what it has to do with prayer. When you pray for someone, or you pray for something, like your dreams, your life goals, it creates a category in your reticular activating system. And I think it creates an even bigger category in your spiritual RAS. And what happens when you're praying for that thing or that person, all of a sudden you start to see opportunities you had never noticed before. They may have been there the whole time, but you just didn't see them. And if you want to seize opportunities, well, you got to back up and you got to see opportunities. And if you want to see opportunities, Paul says you need to pray for those opportunities. If you want to make the most of every opportunity, Paul says devote yourself to prayer, always being watchful and thankful. You know, as I look back on my life, some of the greatest breakthroughs have happened while I've been in prayer mode. In fact, I was thinking the past couple weeks, I wouldn't be here in Las Vegas, I wouldn't be here at Verve if it wasn't for prayer. When Vince moved out here several years ago, he called me and he asked me to come help him do this, start this new church, come join his staff. And while I was very honored that Vince would ask me to come out and join him, I honestly didn't see it as this God-given opportunity that it was. I kept going on with my life and the ministry I had in Atlanta. And it wasn't until about 18 months later that Lisa and I started praying intensely and intentionally about God's will for our future. And a funny thing happened when our prayers increased. My vision increased. My sight got a little bit bigger. And I started to see that moving to Las Vegas and serving at Verve was actually a God-ordained opportunity that I needed to seize. That I needed to take advantage of it. But before I could seize it, I had to see it. And it wasn't until my prayers intensified that my vision improved and I saw it for what it was. Here's what I've come to realize in my own life. Prayer is like an opportunity incubator. Okay? When I'm not living life in prayer mode, I have good ideas. But when I live life in prayer mode, I have God ideas. And can I just tell you, I'd rather have one God idea than 1,000 good ideas. You see, I've become convinced there's two modes to live your life in, prayer mode or survival mode. In survival mode, you live life on your heels. In prayer mode, you're on your toes. In survival mode, you're playing defense. In prayer mode, you're playing offense. And Paul says, play offense. Make the most of every opportunity. And the way you stay on your toes, the way you play offense, is you devote yourselves to prayer. You live life in prayer mode. And when you do that, you start to see opportunities all around you. God-ordained, God-given opportunities. And so it makes me think about you. And we've asked you this question about every week, but what lion are you chasing? Like, what are your dreams? What are your goals? What's that bigger life you feel like God's calling you to than maybe what you're living right now? And then the question I would ask you is, are you praying about it? And I don't mean just throwing up a prayer every once in a while. I mean like daily. Like when you wake up, are you praying about it? When you go to bed, are you praying about it? Someone once said, the opportunity of a lifetime must be seized in the lifetime of the opportunity. Let me say that again. The opportunity of a lifetime must be seized in the lifetime of the opportunity. In other words, opportunities have an expiration date. They're not always going to be around. They're not always going to be available to you. Now, it doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. It doesn't mean God will not continue to use you. He will. But what it just means is that opportunity is gone at some point. And so my question for you today, very specifically, is what's one opportunity that you're looking at right now? What's that one thing that, as I've been up here talking, you can't get out of your mind? And then a little bit probing a little bit more, is what's holding you back from seizing that opportunity? What's holding you back from making the call, from applying for the program, from sending the email, from handing in your resignation, from setting up the meeting, whatever that may be? What's holding you back? More often than not, I know in my own life this is true, that the only thing standing between you and your dream are rational excuses. Okay. Excuses that just make sense. I mean, I think of Howard Schultz, and I mean, he could have come up with 100 reasons not to invest $4 million on coffee, especially in 1987, where you could still get it for a quarter, right? I could have come up with, and I did, all kinds of excuses and reasons not to move my family to Las Vegas. So what I'm learning is that lion chasers are not looking for excuses. And so I would ask you, what excuses are holding you back from seizing opportunities? Like, what excuses are just standing in your way of reaching your life dreams and goals? What excuses are keeping you from living the life that God so desperately wants for you? I'm too busy. I'm not qualified. I'm too qualified. I've got too many problems. I don't have enough money. I'm not ready yet. Here's the deal. Your ultimate destiny is going to be determined by whether or not you see and seize the opportunities, the God-given opportunities that are presented to you. And I can tell you this, at the end of your life, your biggest regrets will not be the mistakes you make as much as the opportunities you miss. I don't know what dream God is calling you to pursue. Here's what I do know. You can't just sit there. Right? Make the most of every opportunity. Whatever that thing is right now you're thinking of, go seize it before it expires. Because if you will, there's no telling what God will do in you and through you. Make the most of every opportunity. We're going to give you a few minutes just now. I'm going to pray, and we're going to give you some time to just think about what you've heard. And for some of you sitting here, I'd encourage you to take these next couple minutes. The band's going to play. And I'd encourage you just kind of be done with the excuses. To commit here while you're sitting right here to going out today, this week, and seizing that opportunity, whatever that is. And letting God just do something really big in your life. Maybe for some of you, these next couple minutes, maybe for the first time, you just kind of enter into a life of prayer mode. You give up survival mode, reacting to everything, and you just get proactive. And you just start praying about those dreams and goals. And it may be a simple prayer of, God, I know you're giving me opportunities, but I'm not seeing them. Would you open my eyes? You know, maybe you're here and you're not a person of faith. You're not even sure it's true. You're not sure if Jesus is who he claimed to be. You know, the reality is, I am so glad you're here. I think you're in a great place. And Verve is just a safe place for you to ask questions and for you to wrestle with things of faith. And I think you have an opportunity in front of you. And that is to just keep coming here. Just to come back next week and the week after. And to just ask the tough questions. And seek to know, is God real? Does he really exist? Does he really desire to have a relationship with you? During this time, you know, Paul said to devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. During this time, we take an opportunity for gratitude by remembering the sacrifice that Jesus made for us on the cross. 2,000 years ago, when he died for us, so that he could take our sins and all the junk in our life and just give us a new start and let us have a relationship with him. And we do that through communion. And you see tables set up with the candles all around the room. And on those tables, a piece of bread that represents Christ's body and a cup of juice that represents Christ's blood that he shed for you and for me so that we can have a new life and we can have a relationship with him. And so I encourage you to just take this time. You can make your way to one of the tables and take communion and be grateful for what God has done in your life. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for loving us and for being such a good God that you daily give us opportunities. We may not see them, and God, I'm so sorry. I know in my own life where I have missed opportunities that you've wanted to use me in the lives of other people around me. God, opportunities you've given me to love, to serve, to give, to learn that I just missed. God, thank you for not giving up on me. Thank you for not giving up for every person in this room. And you just keep giving us opportunities. And God, would you help us to see them? God, long before we can seize them, we've got to see them. God, would you open our eyes? God, would you help us enter a life of prayer so that our vision increases? We can see the big things that you're up to in our life, in the lives of those around us, and in our community. God, would you help use us here at First Church to turn this city upside down? But God, in order for that to happen, we have to see and seize opportunities. So God, thank you for the opportunities. Help us be done with the excuses. Help us to live life on our toes, on the offense, so that we can live the kind of life and we can be the kind of people that you desire us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.